Hallelujah. 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 Is it too early to give the Lord a shout? Okay. Hallelujah. Help me greet 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 person. Then take your seat. Amen. Thank you. The voice of Christ. We bless you, Jesus.
Instrumentalists, thank you very much. Let me appreciate the instrumentalists too, you know.
Hallelujah. Well, once again, we welcome in Jesus' name. And the meeting started on a very high note yesterday. Do I have a witness in the house? Amen. And with God, there's never a better yesterday. Praise the Lord. The same way he started with us on a high note, we'll keep soaring and keep soaring.
Amen.
And this is how our lives will be transformed to his glory.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Glory, hallelujah.
Amen.
Praise God. Well, once again, I want to honor all of God's servants present in this house. Let's, amen. Our Father and the Lord, Bishop Nubutende and the wife, around. Aha, you are correct. Amen. He'll be bringing the word to us this morning. Amen. Praise the Lord. So, be seated. Let me bring you an appetizer before he comes up. Amen. So, you see, that God has a way of exceeding our expectations. When we are planning initially, we didn't know he would be here. God brought him, and he will bless us. Thank you. That's very correct. Amen. Praise the Lord. Psalm 32 and verse 8. Psalm 32 verse 8, it says, I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way that thou shalt go, and I will guide you with my eye. Praise God. Now, this is God giving us a promise about divine guidance. And I want you to notice, it's an unconditional promise. He just said, I will instruct thee, I will teach thee, and I will guide thee. Praise the Lord. He did not say that if you are good, then I will guide you. He did not say if you are holy, I will guide you. Or if you fast and pray, I will guide you. He said, I will guide you. Praise God. As a praise God. And so we can readily see that divine guidance is an unconditional promise. Amen. Unconditional promise. Just like the birth of Jesus was an unconditional promise. Even if you never believe it, he will still be born. Rapture is unconditional. Say, I don't believe in rapture. It will happen. Gravity is unconditional. I don't believe in it. I don't try it. Amen. Likewise, if you're a child of God, divine guidance is what? unconditional. God is committed to leading us by His Spirit. We should also be committed to being led by God. Thank you for an amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Now, let's read this verse from New Living Translation. Praise God. New Living Translation says, the Lord says, this is God Almighty talking to us. The Lord says, I will guide you. How? Along the best pathway for your life.
Amen.
I will advise you and watch over you. I will guide you along the best. Amen. So, the leading of the Spirit is the best way we should go in life. Is that not so? It's the best. It's not a good way. Praise the Lord. Education is a good way in life. But the leading of the Spirit is the best. Hallelujah. The best. Hallelujah. So you see, we can say there are three possible ways to go in life: the bad way, the good way, and the best. Amen. The bad way, obvious. If you follow satanic ways, that's bad. Good ways. If you follow human ideas, you will just live a good life, humanly speaking. Is that not so? Work so hard, get first, second, third degree, get a place of work, work very hard, save as much as you can, and work out your life like you will die. You have a good life, humanly speaking. But the leading of the Spirit does not give us a good life, it gives us what? The best. And the good news is that the best is by God's definition. Hallelujah. And so, like I normally say, those who understand the leading of the Spirit of God learn to say no to good things of life. Amen. Those who understand the leading of the Spirit learn to say what? No to good things of life. Now, why? Why will you say no to good things? Because you are going for the best. Hallelujah. You are not just going for the good things, you are going for what? The best. Amen. Now, there's a scripture that our Father in the Lord read for us yesterday. I want us to touch it again. Acts 27 and verse 21. Acts 27:21 said, but after long abstinence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, sirs, ye should have hearkened unto me and not have loosed from Crete, and to have gained this harm and loss. So like he said, harm and loss can be avoided. Is that not so? Let's read it in New Living Translation. Amen. Very interesting. NLT. No one had eaten after a long time. This is compulsory fasting. Amen. They were not fasting because they love God. They were fasting because they are afraid of dying. I think, if I still remember, if you were reading contest, for 14 days they did not eat. You know, there are certain things that can come upon you that you lose appetite. So I tell people, fast now that you can do it willingly, so that you won't have to fast by force. Is that not so? You will not fast by force in Jesus' name. Finally, Paul called the crew together and said, men, you should have listened to me in the first place. Not left Crete. Then what will happen? You would have avoided all this damage and loss. Praise God. Another translation says disaster. So you see, damage, loss, disaster, evil can be avoided. Say amen, please.
Amen.
Evil can be avoided. We don't have to be victims of evil. We don't have to be victim of wrong policies in the nation. We don't have to be victims of circumstances. Because the Spirit of God leads us to victory. We are not victims, we are victors. Somebody say louder, amen.
Amen.
Say, I'm not a victim, I'm a victor. Say it again, I am not a victim, I am a victor. Now, if we look at 2 Corinthians 2, yesterday I read that in New King James, 2 Corinthians 2 verse 14. Let me pick a thought there, then I will tell you what I want to share briefly this morning. Hallelujah. Amen.
Amen.
Now, thanks be to God, who what? Always, always leads us. Now, when he leads you, what happened? He leads us in triumph. English dictionary says triumph means conclusive success. So if he leads you, you end up being very successful.
Amen.
Your end is predictable, isn't it? If God leads you, your end is predictable. But I want us to read this verse in Message translation, and I'll just tell you what I'm sharing on. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. You know, a few weeks ago, we had Spirit-Led Life Seminar here. And I asked everyone to submit the questions of their heart on this subject, prevailing questions of their heart on this subject. Well, some did, some did not. Amen. We didn't have enough time. I wanted to submit my own question to you. And it's the question, one of the strongest questions I have about Spirit-Led Life. That's the one I want us to consider today, amen. So I will give you the question, you will give me answers. Since you did not ask me when I ask you, I will ask you. And you will answer me.
Amen.
Only my wife is saying amen. I say you answer me.
Amen.
So Paul said, and I got it. What did he get? He got an understanding. Thank God in the Messiah, Christ. In the Messiah, in Christ, God leads us from place to place in what? One perpetual victory parade. Oh, that's a shouting point, amen? In other words, if the Spirit of God leads you, you're in a victory parade. Help me with an amen. Oh. If the Spirit of God leads you, you are what? In a victory parade. In a victory parade. That means your life will keep moving from one degree of victory to another. Why? Because you are led by the Spirit of God. Say amen.
Amen.
So we avoid danger. We enjoy victory parade. We fulfill destiny. We live a successful life following the leading of the Spirit. Is that not so? Hallelujah. And so my first question is, what do you think is the best favor you can do to yourself in life? Huh? Following the leading of the Spirit, isn't it? Beautiful. That's the best favor. I mean, after salvation, the best favor you can do for yourself is to follow the leading of the Spirit of God. Say amen.
Amen.
Just keep following. Just keep following. Praise the Lord. Just keep following. You know, in one city where we have church, one of our branch churches, getting a venue in that city has been a challenge, you know. But I normally tell any pastor I send out, don't tell me there's no venue. God prepare a place before sending us. Are you with me? If he has to close down people's shops and buildings to give you a venue, he will do it. But once God sends you, there is a venue. Now, but getting venue in that place was such a challenge. We were even offering much money to pay monthly, but it was still a challenge. So one day the pastor and his wife called me and said, they saw land for sale, but it's bush. I said, what do you mean bush? He said, nobody really lives here. I mean, it's really far from everywhere, everyone. He said, but it looks like a promising land. I said, forget that thing. I'm looking for interesting thing. You are telling me bush. Is it rabbits and rats? God send me to pastor. So I pushed that off. Then in the place of prayer. Now, I was not praying about the land. I was just talking to God, praying in other tongues, enjoying myself. Amen. Now, it's like God in the spirit talking to God about how good he is. That conversation began to play in my heart again. Land for sale in the bush. I said, well, I have no business with that. I kept praying. The conversation came again. When it came the third time, I understood exactly what it means. Now, let me say this. It will help somebody. When a conversation replays in your heart while praying, God is giving you direction. God is seeking your attention to give you direction. Now, I was not praying about the land. I was just thanking God for being a good father, a loving father, and you understand that's a very important point. If you're going to be led by the Spirit of God, just ministering to God, enjoying myself, then the conversation played again. Now, when the conversation played like three times, I said, Lord, are you interested in that land? It's not me. Are you interested in that land? He said, yes, I want to give it to you. I said, okay, praise God. So I sent a message to the pastor's wife. I said, I'm interested in the land. As of that time, they said it was 6 million naira. I said, I don't have 6 million naira anywhere, please. We'll have to let go. She said, no, but daddy, you've told us not to give up. I said, okay, I won't give up, but go and beat the price down. I want to save your time. I won't tell you details. Amen. So eventually they beat it down to 4.5. So I said, I will send a deposit. How much is the deposit? 500,000. That's poor, isn't it? That's like 10% out of 500,000. Just tie it down. Anyway, to cut the long story short, because we had to pay in 3 installments. After paying the second installment, when we were getting ready to pay for the third one, the person who sold the land, or who was selling the land, it's not yet through selling the land, we just had agreement, said, tell pastor that if he wants to sell the land, I'm willing to buy for 9 million. You didn't get that, did you? Huh? That means, no, he said he was willing to buy for 8 million. Now, for him to be willing to buy for 8 million, that means it has appreciated more than 8 million. I said, we are not selling. So I bought the land, amen? That was bush. Then recently the state governor decided to move very strategic things to that area and many housing estates. So the place just appreciated in space of 18 months. Now they are pricing it for over 31 million. And it is bush. Praise the Lord. Now, you probably don't know the beauty of this testimony till I take you further. When I saw it was bush, it's not one plot we bought. Amen? We bought plenty. In fact, we can cut half of it to sell and use it to build a church. Say an amen.
Amen.
In other words, what I'm trying to tell you is, there are no losses when we follow the leading of the Spirit. No losses. No losses. Now, it does not mean anywhere you see land, go and buy. You can go and buy and discover it's wind you bought. Especially if you live in big city, Abuja, Lagos, Port Harcourt, be careful. They will sell wind for you. You will think you have bought land. So to avoid buying Iska, be led by the Spirit. Nobody is saying amen now. So here is my question, which I expect you to answer. Amen. Which is what we'll talk. I told you I have a question for you. So here is the question. Why do you sometimes fail to follow the leading of the Spirit? That's our title. Write it as you answer it. Why? Why do we sometimes fail to follow the leading of the Spirit? Why? Since we all agree there are no losses following the leading of the Spirit, why do we sometimes fail to follow? Hallelujah. Why do we sometimes fail to follow? Now, I will give us a suggestion, some general reasons, but I want you in the place of meditation to write your own personal reasons why you sometimes fail to follow. Say amen. I just told us now that there are no losses following the leading of the Spirit. That means, amen, Spirit-led life is regret-free living. Spirit-led life is what? Regret-free living. Living a life that is free from regrets. Free from mistakes. Free from pains. Free from sorrows. Hallelujah. God gave us the leading of the Spirit so that we'll stop making mistakes in life. So that we'll stop having regrets. Now, I just shared with you an example of how I followed my heart, did an investment that I am happy about. Amen? Praise the Lord. But see, let me tell you another one. There were instances I did wrong investment and lost money. And it pained me. The last time, but I'm trying to remember, the last time I had a wrong investment was 2007. It's almost 20 years now. Amen? This is 19 years. From that time on, anytime I decide to invest, no losses. Amen? That means, if you understand what we are teaching, you can get to a place where you will say bye-bye to regrets. Bye-bye to losses. Bye-bye to sorrows. You have crossed over. Success is not by chance. It's by direction. Did you hear me? Success is not by chance. It's by direction. Conversely, for a believer, failure also is by ignoring direction. Hallelujah. I say hallelujah. Now, if I pass this mic to each one of us, except you don't want to tell us the truth. If I pass the mic to each one of us, you can tell one time that you took the wrong step, you ignored the leading of the Spirit, and you regretted it. Amen. I mean, one of my greatest role models on this subject, Kenneth Hagin. Amen. In his book, How You Can Be Led by the Spirit of God, he talked about how he had lost thousands of dollars in wrong investment. So, he now said, I'm sure you are wondering, Brother Hagin, why did you do wrong investment? Why didn't you follow your heart? He said, what about you? Why don't you follow your heart too? Amen. In other words, see, if you are a human being, you have the potential of missing it. Are you with me? If you are human, the potential of missing it is there. But you know the reason why God gives us this kind of meeting? Nobody is with me. Am I alone? You know the reason why God gives us this kind of meetings? To minimize your mistakes. So that your potential of missing it is greatly minimized. Greatly. Hallelujah. John chapter 11 verse 9. New King James. John chapter 11 and verse 9. Look at it in New King James. Why do we fail to follow our hearts? Why do we fail to follow our hearts? And you know it's applicable. I just use finances for example because the figures can get your attention. It's applicable to your health. It's applicable to your ministry. Applicable to your academics. Applicable to family relationship. Every aspect of life. Following the leading of the Spirit pays. Jesus answered. Now this is Jesus. Was about going to Jerusalem to go raise Lazarus from the dead, and his disciples say, you've forgotten they tried to stone you to death recently in Jerusalem. Then he answered, are there not 12 hours in the day? If anyone walks in the day, what happened? He does not stumble. I like that. But why is it that he does not stumble? Because he sees the light of this world. You know what Jesus is teaching here? Seeing natural light keeps you from stumbling in this natural world. Likewise, seeing the light of God, the leading of the Spirit, will keep you from stumbling in life. That means, what I'm telling you in simple terms is that you can live a life free from stumbling. You can live a life free from stumbling, free from error, free from mistakes. Hallelujah. It is very possible. Not only is it possible, it's applicable. And for some of us, the journey to mistake-free, regret-free living begins today. Light is shining your heart. You'll be able to say boldly that, this is 5 years now, 10 years, 50 years. I have not done a wrong investment. I've not taken a wrong step. Hallelujah. You, like we learned yesterday, you'll be right place, right time. You know, many of us believers, if we need to travel long distance, let's say here to Lagos, here to Abuja, you take time to pray and listen to your heart. You search for peace. Lord, should I go or should I not? But how many of us know that just crossing the road in front of your house? There's one man in Graceland. He was in Graceland here. I'll try not to describe him, man. I'm in Graceland. He was in Graceland here. Doing very well with his business. Praise God. Now, I said I would try not to describe. So, so one day he decided to go buy some things for his business. And all that was his heart is, why not delegate? Give people to go for you. He said, they are eating my money. It's better you lose money than your life. So this man decided to go himself. He just stepped out. The trailer lost control, ran over him, and he died. And they will eat the money better now. That means even within township drive, you need to follow your heart. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Praise God. You remember that scripture that says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Then it says what? With some of your ways acknowledge him. Huh? How many ways? All your ways. All your ways. Acknowledge him. And he shall direct your path. That means God is willing to direct us in every minor details of life. You are getting there. Oh. I say you are getting to that place. Oh. Can I suggest something to you? I don't know why I'm greeting you. I've not even entered the message. But you remember the message? Why do we sometimes fail to follow our hearts? Now, when you are writing it, write personalized. Why do I sometimes fail to follow my heart? Why do I sometimes fail to follow my heart? Since following the leading of the Spirit, following my heart, is a climax of success. Why do I sometimes fail? Can I talk to you? You know you hear me. Can I talk to you? Don't eat food because you are hungry. Eat because you are led. You are hungry, but your heart is saying, don't eat that food. Please leave it alone. Or else you'll be surprised. Don't eat food because you are hungry. I've had people say, call of nature, we must answer. It's not a must. I'll tell you two stories that illustrate this. Amen. I went somewhere to minister. Praise God. So I had taken lunch. They want to bring dinner. I said, no. For me, unless I ask you, don't bother about dinner. I'm really not interested in dinner. Amen. Then the pastor's wife said, I'll bring chicken pepper soup. I said, no. Goat pepper soup. I said, no. He said, fish pepper soup. He said, pastor, they've told me you like fish pepper soup. I said, I like it, but not for today. He said, no, now, if I do it, you will like it. So that she will not be angry. I said, okay, do it. While I was ministering, just before I finished ministering, the Holy Spirit reminded me, don't take fish pepper soup tonight. I almost said it from pulpit. But you know what we say, the world is here. Like I just said, I like fish pepper soup now. I will appear in one city to bring basins of fish pepper soup. I like it only on request, especially those of you following me online. Amen. No, it can amaze you how people act. We can close service now. Some people from Canada, from UK, they will just call somebody, bring, go and do fish pepper soup for pastor. But they get, by the way, this digression is by the Spirit. Amen? Are you with me? If anybody tells you to get me grilled fish pepper soup or birthday cake, they send you money, bring the money. I know where to buy it. Amen? Just write it that, pastor, Shekoli Blake, I say I should buy fish pepper soup for you. I will thank the person for the fish. If you buy the fish, I will force you to eat it. And I will video you and send to the person. No, I mean it too. Praise God. I mean it. There was a yeb, a brother sent money, I think through Pastor Anointed, that they should buy, is it two goats, Christmas goats, bag of rice, and how many chicken for my wife and I? And later you say, why do you have pot belly? Nobody you, they feel them. So, Pastor Anointed, thank God for him. I appreciate him. Amen. He came to see me. He said, well, sir, somebody said to buy you goat, two goats, live goats, chicken, and he said, but not to give you the money. I said, to talk with you. I said, he said, don't give me the money, isn't it? Transfer it. You have not given me the money. You just transfer it. Amen? So I called the person. I said, thank you for the goats. This is how, sir, my 50th birthday. Somebody said 3 million naira that for birthday cake. She dey craze me. If I do cake 3 million naira, won't you tell me she dey craze? So I hope you heard it. Amen. Tell others too. Whatever they say, you should buy for me. Bring the money. I know where they sell them. Thank you. You are very spiritual. Praise the Lord. I say praise the Lord. Fish pepper soup. Fish. I'm telling you now, I still have fish pepper soup waiting for me since last week. And each person that sent it said, make sure daddy eats it. He shouldn't give somebody else. So I'm making sure I eat it. My heart has not permitted to touch them, so they will keep waiting. Amen. No space in my fridge. I've warned you now. So, but then that night, the pastor's wife did her fish pepper soup. When she brought it, I said, thank you. I will take it tomorrow. She said, no. The pastor take it today. They say, tomorrow. I was trying to follow my heart. Then she then said, I won't be happy if you don't take it. Then the husband joined and said, my wife will not be able to sleep if you don't take it. So I decided, so that she will sleep, I will eat it. I did not know I became a substitutionary lamb for sacrifice. I ate so that she would sleep. I couldn't sleep. Can I talk to you? As I touch this story, I just hit something. Can I talk to you? If you are going to follow the leading of the Spirit successfully, you must avoid trying to please men. Completely. Avoid trying to please men. Galatians 1 and verse 10, please. Galatians chapter 1 and verse 10. Old King James, please. It seems to be clearer there. Thank you. Galatians 1 and verse 10. Look at what it says. For do I now persuade men or God? Do I seek to please men? Now, listen to the next thing or read with me. For if I yet please men, what will happen? I should not be the servant of Christ. Thank you, sir. Very serious. You know what God is saying here? What the Spirit of God is saying here? That you cannot please men and serve God. Pleasing men and serving God are mutually exclusive. If you are pleasing men, you are not serving God. Are you with me? Don't seek to please men. Hi. Jesus is Lord. Don't seek to please men. I say it repeatedly, especially when I'm talking to my pastors. Listen, we are called to serve men. We are not called to please them. We are not called to please men. We are called to serve them. To serve them in accordance to the will of God. Not to please men. So as a pastor, I beg you in the name of Jesus, don't be threatened by any member in your church. Pastor, if you don't do this, I leave church. Save journey. Soldier go, soldier come, barrack remains. God gave you the vision before anybody came. So the exit of one person cannot stop the vision. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Have you remember about Jesus? Over 5,000 people following him. He preached one message. They all left except the 12. He looked at them. He said, what about you? Won't you follow them? They said, no, you have the word of life. Actually, there are two reasons why they did not leave. One, they have left their job. It's Jesus that was paying their bills. So if we leave you now, what will we eat? Let's keep following you. Amen. That's why when he said, Son of Man will die, Peter rebuked him. Shigankalinkaba. Suddenly he remembered his senior Jesus. It's like Pastor Ben Mark taking me to one corner now. If I say I'm going to die, he said, okay. Then he will give me slap first. Pow. Then he will do wah, wah on my face. It's the last warning. I left everything to follow you. You say you will die. Shigan Kalinka. Peter was thinking of what he will lose. When my mother-in-law was sick, you heal him. When they came for tax, you send us to catch fish. When we need this, you are there. You want to die. Kai. The day you are calling me, you should have told me you will die. I won't follow you. So after rebuke, Jesus looked at him again and rebuked him back. And you know, when Jesus is God, when God rebukes you, it's eternal rebuke. So Peter got more than he bargained for. Can I give you another advice? Is this one for you or is for pastor's retreat? I'm thinking. Listen, correction, just like a river, does not flow upward. It flows downward. I will say it again. Correction, just like a river, does not flow upward, it flows downward. It's not in your place to correct your upline. You want to correct your father in the Lord. You are proud. You are proud and you are heading for destruction. You don't correct fathers. You suggest to them, you don't correct them. That's why Paul said, rebuke not an elder. Why shouldn't you rebuke him? He's an elder. Corrections flows downward. Correction flows downward. Corrections flows downward. You know, sir, there's one of my members. She's not here now. God has helped her. She's outside the country, probably following me online now. Amen. Early days of joining church. After praise and worship like this, she will send me notes. Thus saith the Lord, this is the topic you will teach on. Anytime I receive the note, I will look at her direction. I will not. Then she will do thumbs up. This time, don't make Kate to be happy. So, very interesting, ma. For example, if she says, God said today you should teach on demons. For example, I'll come and teach on angels. Then after service, when they come greeting, she'll come and say, Pastor, I'm not talking to you. I'm not talking to you. She'll be saying people will be hearing. Well, I said, why? You disobey God. So I would take her by the hand and say, you know I'm still growing. Next time I will do it, she'll say, okay. Then next Sunday she will write again. In fact, sometimes she will write, God say you should lay hand on this person and that person. I will look at her and do thumbs up. She'll be smiling. Then no hand is laid. Pastor, I don't like disobedience. I say, be praying for me that I will not disobey. Amen? You say, why didn't you rebuke her? See, you just gave birth to a baby boy now. Eh? And the baby pee on your face. Then you spank the baby. The baby pee on your face. Oh, daddy's boy. But if Josh now pee on my face, amen? Castration will take place. Is that not so? Amputation. So I allowed her, amen? I allowed her to keep growing after some time. She came to, one day after service, she said, Daddy, I want to see you. She came with offering envelope. She knelt down, was weeping. It says, trespass offering for all my foolishness. He says, so Daddy, all this thing I've been doing is foolishness and you didn't say anything. I said, what was I supposed to say? He said, hey, that she has advice for every first timer. Don't try to correct pastor. But some of you, as even as I'm talking now, some of you are planning to correct me after this service. Now, the way I respond, if I just do you thumbs up, you know you are still a baby, amen? But if I did you castration, you have grown, amen? Hallelujah! Did you learn anything? Now listen, listen please. This digression is good. There are two things you should do for your spiritual leader that you perceive is in error. Two things. Number one, pray for him. Two, suggest to him. Don't correct him. You don't have the spiritual endowment to correct him. Pray for him. Pray for him. You see, the same leader that will not listen to you, there's someone he will listen to. As you pray for him, God will send the right person to talk to them. You remember the Bible, the scripture that says, whom the child loveth, he corrects? I just left some people out. Now, if you are not reading Bible, I got you. You remember the scripture that says, whom the child loveth, he corrects? What does it say? Whom the father loveth, he corrects. It's fathers that correct, not children that correct. It's not in position of a child to correct his father. Even that one, some of you will not say amen. All right, so God help me, at least I mentioned one reason why we fail to follow our hearts. What is that one reason? Trying to please men. Trying to please men. Siba, scripturally, we are told to love all men. We are told to honor all men. We are told to serve all men. But we are never instructed to please men. Love them. Honor them. Serve them. Don't try to please them. Don't try to please men. Somebody say amen. Amen. Say louder amen. Amen. What should you do? Don't try to please men. Seeking to please men flows the same direction with error. Seeking to please men flows the same direction with error. I was in a relationship before I met my wife. The lady was dealing with me seriously. I mean dealing with me. One time we had an argument. Not something spiritual. Football. I was not even a football fan. She was just talking about this match that these people will win. I said, no. From what I'm seeing, it's this side that will win. She left her seat, came straight to me and gave me a dirty slap. Pow! Then she said, who will win? I said, what you said is right. Now, I just gave you one instance out of many. What do you call that thing again? Shege Promax. That lady showed me Shege Promax. Man, I was beaten for my foolishness. The chastisement of my stubbornness came on me. By my stripes, my eyes open. But you know what kept me there for long? I have talked to brothers that it's not good to break heart. And that's true. Don't break sister's heart. They say, we are waiting to see you. When you break heart, we'll tell you. So, just to prove a point that I will not break heart, I was being broken. Trying to please men, trying to keep my word. You know what? Can I advise you? It's better to keep your life than to keep your word. You are not God. It's God that will never break his word. If your word at any time contradicts your destiny, let go of your word. I have told people before that I will never start a church. See me starting churches. Well, it's God that the Bible says is not a man that cannot lie. That means I can lie. And it's God that never changed. Me, I can change. And God says it, I changed. I was listening to Pastor Poju recently. He said for many years, he kept telling the Covenant Place. That's the name of the church, isn't it? He said the Covenant Place will never start any satellite church. It will be one church. What are all these branch churches still people are doing? Then when God started dealing with him to do branch churches, he said, Lord, I have told them we'll not do branch churches. He said, go and tell them you lied. He said, did I send you to say that? He said, no, go and tell them you lied. He said, people of God, I told a lie. I told what God did not say. I said, we will not do branch churches. Now, we are doing it. May I stop saying I will never do? Yeah. As you see me so. I used to say I will never be an evangelist. It's God that knows it tomorrow. Today is Pastor Tende. Tomorrow you hear Evangelist J.K. Elizabeth, what's the K in my name? Hallelujah! And so, all in the name of, I won't break my word. I was there being beaten. Being beaten. Finally, I broke the word. That's why, man, I'm sorry. That's why when I was going to choose my wife, I look at the size of the hand. Amen. Say, this one cannot beat me. So. All right, I left one story that I didn't finish. You remember pepper soup? So I took the pepper soup to please her. Say to please her. Then at midnight, you know the Bible says, at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises to God. That scripture was fulfilled about me. I'll bless the Lord with everything within me. From around 12 in the night till 6 a.m., I was in the restroom. I couldn't pray, I couldn't study, I couldn't sleep. The next day we went for morning session. As soon as they called me up, the drama began again. Bo, 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 bo. I called the pastor, said, come and lead prayer. I ran again. This was how I didn't preach that morning. After the third time, I had to use the pulpit to say, pastor's wife, you see what you have caused? I've eaten your food and no more meeting. To follow your heart, don't try to please men. The Lord bless you.